How many of you have ever ridden on a bicycle? All right, some of you that hadn't ridden on a bicycle, stay after church. I'll show you how to ride a bicycle, okay? Probably all of us in here ridden a bicycle. But let me tell you something. There's a difference in knowing how to ride a bicycle and riding a bicycle. Do you agree? There's a difference in knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. I'm finding more and more these days, young people especially, and I'm not being negative because I thank God they're learning about Jesus, but it's one thing to know about Jesus, it's another thing to really know Him. And I'm afraid to say that I think today in our culture it's just easy to know the facts about the Bible and know about the stories of Jesus, just like you would know about watching a video how to ride a bicycle. You could tell me all the parts about the bicycle, the handlebars, the pedals, the chain, the tires, and you could even describe to me how you'd get on a bicycle. But until you get on a bicycle, you don't really know how to ride a bicycle. And so it is with our Lord Jesus. Until you really experience His amazing grace and receive Him as your Lord and Savior, you can know about it all day long up here in your head. Question, have you ever experienced the love of God just like a bicycle? Have you ever had that personal experience where you've received Him as your Lord and Savior? Not just about Him, but know Him. In fact, last week, it was Thursday of last week, I talked with a lady. Her name is Elizabeth. And she's been in the hospital. She has been in the rehab. Finally, she got to go back to the manor house. I slipped by her room last Thursday, and I said to her, I said, I'm praying for you, Elizabeth. She's up in her 90s. And I said to her, we missed you. She's a retired school teacher, 41 years of teaching education. And anyway, she's a sweet Christian lady. In fact, when I have the privilege of going on every Thursday to share the Word of God, I'd look over and I'd see tears begin to wet up in her eyes. Tears begin to stream down her cheek as we'd share something interesting about the Bible. It was such a blessing to my heart. And so as I stopped by, I hadn't seen her in about 3 or 4 weeks due to the fact of her being rehab and at the hospital. But as I stopped by her room, I said to her, I said, Elizabeth, it's good to see you once again. And then I prayed with her and I said to her, as I looked at her, like I always say on the conclusion of our time together on Thursday, they call it their church, by the way, I said this saying, God be with you till we meet again. Let's say that together. God, till we meet again. You know, she looked at me and she said, preacher, she said, I sure do enjoy you coming, and I hope you'll see you maybe next week. God be with you till we meet again. Well, that was on Thursday. I got a text message on Friday. She went to be with the Lord. She's out there with the Lord now. But I want to preach right now in a little while on the subject of searching for a city. Searching for a city. And in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, there are some interesting notes in Hebrews 13 that I think will be a blessing to us about, number one, how to get on that road that travels to this great city called the celestial city on high. Number two, what are we supposed to do as we go along this great road? Searching for a city. Yes, searching for a city. You see, here's the truth of the matter in Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to see this very clearly. Man is always wanting to be searching for God. And there's a quest in man's heart. In fact, God says He put eternity in man's heart in the book of Ecclesiastes. So man is setting out to know who God is. Not just know about God, but know who He is. Much like knowing about a bicycle, but riding a bicycle. So, I hope you have Hebrews chapter 13. If you do, would you stand to your feet if you're able? And I want to read several selected passages in this great passage of this particular epistle written, I believe, by Paul. And yet, in this wonderful epistle, the theme, press on to maturity. Go on to know God. Don't fall back. You know, I see a lot of Christians today. In fact, I talked with somebody recently that told me, he said, you know what, Pastor? I see all these people who aren't Christians, that don't go to church, and it seems like everything's going their way. They got their money, they got their time, they're doing their thing. I reminded this particular person, hey, it doesn't matter what they've got on the outside. What really matters is what they got on the inside. Amen. Why? I've lived that life. I know what it's like. It's a dead-end road without God, without a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no peace. There's no victory. There's no contentment. There's no destiny. There's no fulfillment, not like it is when you have a relationship with God and when you're right in the middle of the will of God. Question, are you in the middle of the will of God? Are you happy? Why aren't you happy? When I go to work and go home and are out of retired, no meaning in life. Well, discover who Jesus is and His will for your life. That's where you'll find meaning and purpose. In fact, Solomon discovered that. Look with me, please, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. This is a great chapter following the Hall of Faith of Heroes in chapter 11 and the great race in chapter 12. We come to chapter 13 and breaking right into the text due to time today. Look with me, please, in verse 12. In verse 12, wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood. Hagizo is the word sanctify, set apart. That he might set apart the people with his own blood. Notice, suffered without the gate. Verse 13, let us go forth. And that word, let us go forth, is in the present tense. It means, let us keep on going forth. Keep on going forth, therefore, unto him. Those Judaizers, Hebrew Christians, as it were, contemplating going back into the old legalistic way of living? No. And there's some Christians I find today that want to do things like the world instead of following on to know the Lord. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. I like verse 14. Here's the text that God spoke to my heart about. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. There's the message the Lord leaped off the pages, those verses. We have here no continuing. And the word continuing there is the word meno. It means we, just what it says, we have no remaining city here. We're pilgrims passing through, sojourners in a land, but we seek one to come. And I say amen. Verse 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise like the little children just did. Oh, what a blessing. I love that song, Alive, Alive. My Jesus is alive. Yes, I remember in the Philippines singing that. It was such a blessing to hear them sing that. And the sacrifice of praise to God continuously. Look at verse 15. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name. Have you thanked the Lord today? Look over in verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead. We're dead. There's necros. And now the God of Irene, peace that brought again from the dead. Our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood. There's that word again. That's why we've been singing about the blood today. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Notice verse 21. Here's our application. Make you perfect. And that word perfect is the word kataridzo. And the word means make you equipped, make you complete. Make you perfect in every good work. That's why Jesus died and rose again. Why? To make you and me equipped. For what purpose? Look at verse 21. Make you perfect in every good work. To do what? To do his will. Not my will, his will. Not your will, his will. Notice, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And amen. Father, I love you today because of your love. I praise you that your precious blood washes us clean and makes us white as snow. And I pray for a thorough cleansing today. My motives, my mind, my will, my emotions. Oh God, thank you that there is a fountain filled with blood. We praise you that the blood of Jesus creates within us a clean heart. And God, our Father, we thank you so much that you, Lord, don't give up on us, that you have a great plan for us. And I pray today that somehow, some way, those will come to experience your grace and your love and your forgiveness. And then those of us, Father, who have tasted your grace and you've rescued us from the penalty of sin and the power of sin and one day the very presence of sin, that Father would get a little closer. God, I'm sensing today in these days there's a pulling and a complacency on us, your people, and there's a distraction. There's, dear Lord, things that we can't see with the physical eye that are, oh God, that are just really pulling on us all the time. I pray for your beloved people today, right here at New Rocky Creek Baptist Church. God, that you'll give us grace for this dear race until we finish the course. We thank you now, give you glory. We love you and bless you now for victory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Here's where we're going in the message today. And here's where we're going in the message today. There are two parts to what I want to share with you. Number one is how do you get on this road that leads to this city? Searching for a city. Say that with me. Searching for a city. Say it again. Searching for a city. I can't hear you. I mean, I just want to hear you every once in a while, all right? And make sure you're awake. Searching for a city. And then here's the way we can get on that road. Here it is right here. I went ahead and thought I would help you out with this and get this where we could we could see it. If you don't mind, change that for me. For some reason, I put new batteries in this here thing. But anyway, it's not change the channel. No, go back, please, Katie, for another one. Go back to the very first. There we go. That I think that's in the third slide, please. The third slide on there, be good. Right after that. Yeah, right after that. There it is. Thank you. Have you turned to the road that leads to the city? Now, the last few weeks, I've given you an outline. That's because some of you say it's hard for you to follow along. I'm hoping this will be good training for you because we're not going to do this every Sunday, I don't think, because I don't want to spoon feed you. I want you to get it. I want you to get your pen out, pencil out, and I want you to write. That's the way I stay engaged. If I'm not doing something, I can easily get distracted. Well, you might not be like me, but anyway, so here's where we're going. It gives you a simple direction. Number one, the first road that we got to turn off of, there's three roads that I see in the text that we need to turn off on in order to get to the city that's on high, the celestial city. Number one, first turn is to realize that Jesus Christ is on Deity Boulevard. Deity Boulevard. All right? I find that in verse 8. Skip back to verse 8 and look at the text with me. Hold up your Bible if you got your Bible with me. Hold them up, please. I want to make sure you got your Bible. Very good. Notice verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, I know that this is a familiar passage of Scripture. And yet, this is saying that Jesus Christ was not necessarily just became in existence as born in Bethlehem. Rather, Jesus Christ has been here from eternity past. If you want to have forgiveness of your sin, if you want to know and experience God's love, first of all, you've got to understand that Jesus Christ was eternal. He didn't just show up in Bethlehem. He created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. By him were all things created, heaven and earth, thrones and dominions, principalities and powers, all things created by him and for him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. That's John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3 and then verse 14. Jesus was eternal. Why am I saying that? You hear me say this all the time. Because we live in a world that's mixed up that thinks there's other ways to get to heaven. There's no other way to get to heaven except for through the Lord Jesus Christ. Period. He is the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. It's not by any other way. I don't care about this pluralistic society. It doesn't matter about this postmodern mindset that says in our world, even renowned, famous athletes and Hollywood stars and all sorts of people are telling you there's other ways to get to heaven and you can just do this and that. No, it's wrong. I'm sorry. But I refuse to believe that because the Bible is clear. There's one way. It's the blood sprinkle way. And Jesus Christ is the only way. Not a good way, not a great way, but the only way. You see, it's been said a man can go to heaven without health, and a man can go to heaven without wealth, and a man can go to heaven without a big earning, and a man can go to heaven without learning, and a man can go to heaven without friends, and a man can go to heaven without beauty, and a man can go to heaven without 10,000 other things, but a man can never go to heaven without Jesus. He is the only way. And you see, have you experienced his love? Not about, know about him, a bicycle. Have you received him as your Lord and Savior? Well, I got news for you. There's a science world out there that tells us science has the answer. How many of y'all know a man by the name of Stephen Hawking? Let me see your hand. Anybody heard of Stephen Hawking? Do you know when Stephen Hawking died? Stephen Hawking died March the 14th. Wednesday week. Stephen Hawking, I don't know a lot about him, but I know this. Although he faced a lot of physical infirmities, he was a quadriplegic, he certainly added to science in some degree, and yet he was an atheist. He didn't believe in God. In fact, he was so intellectual that he couldn't find God. He, in fact, thought he was his own God. It was Stephen Hawking who discovered or made popular the study of the black hole. But wait a minute, Stephen Hawking, you know what he believed? He believed the Big Bang Theory. And I've often told you, well, I believe that it's the Big Bang. God said bang, and it was there. But wait a minute, either the Bible's true or evolution is true. Now, which one is it? The Bible is written, is sealed, praise God, it's done, it's a done deal. However, evolution keeps changing. It's rewritten and rewritten and rewritten. And through the process of mutation and radiation, man evolves until he begins, you know, from a little tadpole to sophisticated man. And ultimately, he becomes his God. That's what humanism insinuates. And Stephen Hawking had the audacity, and though he was overcoming a lot of physical infirmities, he missed God. He missed God. He believed, like I said, in the Big Bang Theory here. On the contrary, God says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, day one. And you say, but brother pastor, how do you understand how God created the heaven and the earth? Do you understand, pastor, how he said, let there be light, and there was light? Do you understand how the Lord placed the firmament in the atmosphere, the vegetation on the earth, how he put the birds in the air, the fish in the sea, how he made the creeping animals to walk upon and crawl upon the earth? Do you understand, pastor, how God took the dust of the earth and formed a man and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life? He became a living soul. Do you understand, pastor, how he took a rib at the side of Adam and how he made a woman for that man? Do you understand that, pastor? No, but I don't understand how a black cow can eat green grass and produce white milk, but I still drink it, all right? No, I don't understand how God did all that, and neither do you, except for by faith. Do you know why? I'll tell you why. Because the creative laws of Almighty God, which he used in the very beginning to speak into existence, they are no longer present. Therefore, the only thing we can measure from a scientific perspective is the preservational laws that are holding it all together. We will never figure out a supreme being like our God. In fact, I heard about some scientists. They thought they were going to go out and set out to do that. They measured all the mountains, they plummeted the depths of the ocean. They did extensive research on all the animals and mammals, including whales and man, etc. And they said, we're going to figure out how this thing came in existence. They got all compiled their data, their research, they programmed it into their little computer, and they noticed the computer lit up and did some strange things, spit out a little piece of paper. When they typed in, where did this world begin? It spit out a little piece of paper and said, see the book of Genesis. I'm telling you, the Big Bang, yes, God said bang. And you know, there's people today that say, well, God used evolution. There's a Greek word for that, baloney. God made it. Don't you buy into any of that monkey mythology business. God created us. And somebody says, well, anyway, I will not labor that anymore other than just saying Jesus Christ is, he is eternal. And we read that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many have studied black holes, have you? Stephen Hawking made this popular. You know what black hole is? According to Dr. Don DeYoung, who is a Christian astronomer. I didn't say astrologist. I said astronomer. And I said Christian at that. I heard Dr. Don DeYoung report on black holes. According to Dr. Don DeYoung, who is a Christian astronomer, he said a black hole is collapsing stars, basically. And they're swallowed up one by another. Here I've got a picture, several pictures of black holes, but one of which is showing the activity of one black hole swallowing another black hole. And you know what, beloved? I must confess, I do agree with Stephen Hawking on one thing. They asked Stephen Hawking, they said, do you understand about the universe? That was his goal, to set out to study the universe and explain the universe. And he did indeed quite a bit of study on this subject. However, he said, there's one thing, there's something that's a mystery to me. I have not been able to figure it out. They said, what is it, Stephen Hawking? He said, women. It reminded me of the story of the man that the angel came to, and the angel said to the man, said, I'll give you anything you want. Just tell me what your prayer request is. I'll do it. The man said, you know what? I wouldn't mind having a vacation from California to Hawaii. Can you build a bridge, a road that'll go from California to Hawaii? The angel said, I don't know, that's a big task, that's a long ways. And the angel said, do you have a second request? And the man said, yeah, matter of fact, I do. He said, what is it? The man said, I would love to be able to understand women. The angel said, how big do you want that road, and is it 2-lane or 4-lane? Anyway, Stephen Hawking, on another note, the black hole, and he studied it. But look, you know what he said about life and death? Stephen Hawking said that when you die, it's like a battery on your phone that just goes out. Can you believe that? He said, when you die, it's over. Well, either he's right or God's right, and I say God's right. And Stephen, I hate to say it, I hope he got right with God. Somebody, I read an article where he got with a pope, and supposedly, I don't know what happened, but I know this, if you die without God, you'll go to a place called the lake of fire. And if you die without God, according to Jesus, not according to Pastor Randy, Jesus said that a rich man lived and died, and a poor man lived and died, and one, the poor man, was taken to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man died and lifted up his eyes in hell. I didn't say that. Jesus did. And I believe Jesus. Amen. I believe the Lord. And you see what? And so either, and by the way, Stephen Hawking and everyone else who rejects the blood of Jesus, you can be a good person. You can do all kind of good stuff. You can be nice. And we got a lot of good old boys in this neighborhood, but good old boys die and go to hell without Jesus. And there's an old saying, I don't care what kind of music it is, that gives this idea that good old boys go to heaven. No, if they're lost and they're living like the devil, they're going to go to hell. I hate to tell you that. If they're not right with God, if they don't receive Jesus, I don't care how good we are. There's none good, no, not one. And we just got to believe the Bible over what Hollywood says and what people say. Amen. And so, hey, if the Bible's true, and it is, one day Stephen Hawking will stand before a holy God. That's right. You can be so smart and so intellectual, you miss God. You see, the Bible says one day in Revelation chapter 20 and verses 11 through 14, there's a great white throne judgment. And John said, I saw a great white throne. He that sat on him, whose face the heaven and the earth passed away, and there was no place in them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the sea gave up the dead which were in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they would judge every man according to his works. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. Listen to me. And whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. Do you believe that? It don't matter whether you believe it or not, it's going to happen. And I love you. I'm not trying to be ugly about this. I'm just trying to set the... I'm tired of these little pansy-dansy people running around saying there's a bunch of ways to heaven. Sorry, there's not. There's one. It's Jesus. Period. And we got to go and tell. We can't compromise this one thing. The deity of Christ. And so, question, are you on that road that leads to everlasting life? Notice, there's a second road. The second turn is this. Not only realizing that Jesus Christ was deity and turning on Deity Boulevard. Number two, if you're going to go to the city, a city set on high, searching for a city. Number two, we've got to not only realize, but recognize, notice, recognize that Jesus Christ is on redemption, notice, redemption street. Look at chapter 13 and verse number 12. Tell me, are you on this street? Tell me, are you on this road? You can sit in church all day long, but if you hadn't really experienced God's love, and if you hadn't repented and by faith received the Son of God, you talk about miracles. Today people are flocking to churches about miracle this and miracle that, and I believe God's a miracle working God. One of the greatest miracles that ever happened is for somebody to be born again. That's right. We had a young man at a campfire meeting the other night, 16 years old, that was saved. How in the world that God, in his sovereignty, yet would just reach down and save somebody like me or you is just beyond my comprehension. But I bless the Lord for it. Look at verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. He suffered without the gate. Are you on this road called Redemption Street? How many know that this time of the year there's a lot of pollen in the air? You can look around and see the pollen on your car. You can look around and even see the pollen sometimes blowing in the wind. But you know what? Sometimes you can't see the pollen on your skin. Sometimes you can't understand the fact that you're breathing in pollen all the time. You know what the Lord showed me about that? That's just the way it is with sin. Sin is just like that. Sometimes you can't see sin. Sometimes you don't understand sin. Sometimes sin is all around us. We live in a sin-cursed world. And sin gets on us. Somebody say amen. Sin gets in us. It's already in us, according to Paul and according to David. Behold, I was shaping iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Watch. There's only one thing. I don't know anything else that'll get rid of pollen on your car. You know how to get rid of pollen on your car? You wash it off. You get your garden hose or take it to the car wash. That's the only thing I know that'll get pollen off. It's got to be wiped off. And I want to tell you something. You got to be washed in the blood of Jesus. All the people today that say you preachers are talking about the blood and you got this and that. I'm sorry. There's no other way to have forgiveness of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. You take the blood out of your gospel presentation, you don't have a gospel presentation. Amen. It's the blood. It's the blood that makes atonement for the soul. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Yes, there's still power in the blood. I don't know about y'all, but I get to thinking about the power of the blood. How many know when you sin, you feel guilty? How many know when you disobey God, you have this guilt complex? It's like a cloud hanging over your head. But when you say, dear God, I thank you, there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein. And dear Lord, I plunge beneath that blood. Is there anybody here today? You've just kind of been a little worldly and kind of been slipping a little bit here and there. Just been kind of compromising with pornography and compromising with a gossiping tongue, or compromising with some kind of a jealous spirit or a bitter spirit or some way of being covetous. Oh, I'm telling you today, I'm glad there's power in the blood. No matter what you've done, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Hey, are you on this road called redemption? Then, I want to tell you, not only are we sanctified by the blood of Christ, but notice, number three, there's a third turn that you and I, if we're going to get on this road to the city, searching for a city. Yes, this is not my home. I want to go to a city whose builder and maker is God. Yes, I'm on my way to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Thirdly, there's a third turn that I notice in the text. It's found in Hebrews 13 and verse 20. Here it is. The third turn is not only realize that Jesus Christ is on Deity Boulevard and recognize that Jesus Christ is on Redemption Street, but the third turn that we need to make if we're going to lead to the city is this. Turn and rejoice that Jesus Christ is on Resurrection Circle. Yes, Resurrection Circle. I'm glad that he didn't only die, but oh, bless the Lord, he rose from the grave. Look at chapter 13 and verse 20. Notice verse 13 in chapter 13, verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. That is it. He arose from the grave. Next week we're going to celebrate that. Wait a minute. Did I say next week? I meant today we're going to celebrate. We're not going to wait till next week. Hallelujah. I celebrate it every day. If your God's in the tomb, let him out. Bless the Lord. He's alive forevermore. Just like those little children sing, alive, alive. Alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Has he been alive in your life? Why are so many people, Christians, down? And why are so many Christians slack and backslidden? Why are we seeing this today? I know he's alive. I know he's still got power. But why aren't we shining the light? Why aren't we going and telling? What's the problem? Look. The problem is not with him. The problem is with us. If we just get right with the Lord, if we'll turn to God, if we'll get our sins confessed, if we'll not just hear the word but do the word, that's the problem, is following in obedience to God. Oh, but no, I don't want his will. I want my will. And that's herein lies the problem. But I'm glad to tell you today, number two, there's a way that we can get on this road. I want you to follow with me. We have here That is, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. I don't know about y'all. Do y'all ever get to thinking about heaven? Anybody ever get thinking about heaven, how beautiful heaven's going to be? I get to thinking about heaven every once in a while. But there's some things we got to stop, and we've got to consider. And here's what I read in the text. Look at verse 21. There are five stops that you need to make along the way. Now, what I've just done, I've described to you how to get on the road that goes to this city. What is it? Number one, it's by turning on the road that leads to Deity Boulevard. Tell me today, I'm reviewing for a moment. Have you done that? Do you understand who Jesus was? He was God, is God, ever shall be God. And until you come to grips with who he is, he had power over death, demons, disease, etc. He had proof and evidence that he was who he said he was, and that was God. Number two, are you on that road that also turns from turns on to Deity Boulevard? What about, are you on the road called Redemption Street? Are you on that road? Tell me. Have you trusted in his blood? Not just knowing about him up here, not just see a cross hanging on the wall, but have you said, Jesus, I believe you died for me, and I believe that your precious blood is the only thing that can take away my sin. A holy God demands blood. Without the shedding of blood, as I said a minute ago, there's no remission of sin. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And so God the Father was satisfied in his Son. Nothing else would work. Nothing else would do. A thrice righteous, infinite, transcendent, immutable, supreme being must be satisfied. Sin must be dealt with. And that's why Jesus Christ became sin for us that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Listen to me. When you understand what Jesus Christ did for your sin and my sin, paying the price, hear me, it ought to cause some sorrow in your heart. If you don't have godly sorrow in your heart about your sin, tell you what, you're not saved. You're not saved. You can sin all day long to Jesus dying on, but the Bible says godly sorrow leads to repentance. Jesus said, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke chapter 13, verse 3. Paul said, God commands all men everywhere to repent. Acts chapter 17, verse 30. Peter said, he's not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but his long-suffering does, not willing that any should perish. All to come to repentance. What does repentance mean? It means a change of heart. It means going in one direction and turning from that direction. Tell me, have you been running your life? Have you been doing your own thing? Has there been a point in time when you said, God, I know I'm going in the wrong direction. I've been in control of my life, but God, I need a U-turn. I need to turn from the leaving you out of my life. I'm not saying you're not praying at the table of blessing and all that stuff. You know what, beloved? Let me just stop right there and say, the world has become churchy and the church has become worldly. You hear all these, and I'm not being negative or critical, you hear all these churchy phrases on television, right? Newscast, and people are, it seems like everybody today says they're saved. But there's only one problem. What kind of lifestyle? Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits, right? He said that it's going to be some evidences of someone who's really born again. And if you don't have the evidences of a child of God, you just might not really be born again. I'm not saying, I don't know your heart, but I know this. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. I know this, that the Bible says in 1 John 3:9, no one who is born of God can habitually, continually, and the word King James says commit is in present tense, live in sin because God's seed abides in him. It doesn't mean he can't sin, but it means this. If you really say you're saved, there's the Holy Ghost of God living in you. And if you and I can live in habitual rebellion toward God, disobey God, he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, and we don't have God to chastise us, it's a good indication we're a child of the devil and not a child of God. That's Bible, by the way. 1 John chapter 3, verse 6 through 10. And John says, hey, by the way, this is how you can tell those who are really saved and those who aren't saved. Everybody's going to say they're saved. Everybody's going to say they pray. Everybody's going to say they God this and bless this and I'm praying about this and I'm praying about this. But these days are requiring for God's people to be discerning and not to fall into the trap of the devil to be religious without a relationship with God. I'm sorry, but I see it as clear as a bell, and I hope you do as well. And you see, it's easy for us to just get blinded by all this stuff. Well, stop. Stop what and do what? Number one, stop and be content. Look at chapter number 13 and verse 5. Zero in and verse 5. So what can we do when we go along this road? Here it is for Christians. Here's practical application right here, okay? We've just talked about the term regeneration or salvation, how to get to heaven. Now we're going to talk about the term sanctification. After you've gotten on that road, what now? How many know that you're saved? Let me see your hand. You say, bless God, I know that I'm saved. No doubt about it. Most of you could raise your hand. If you didn't, I want to tell you I love you. I'm praying for you. That's why God put this message on my heart. I really believe that. I pray over these messages and say, dear Lord, you know who'll be there Sunday? I don't know who'll be there Sunday. And I'm going to believe, God, you're going to have somebody there that you'll speak to their heart and it can be a blessing to them. That's the whole goal of today. You understand that, I hope. Really, I mean, it's the whole goal. So what do we do? Road of sanctification, number one, to be content. Look at verse number 5. Look at verse 5 of chapter 13. Here we have, the writer said, let your conversation. Well, what does conversation mean? It means lifestyle. Let your lifestyle be without what? Without what? Without what? Y'all see that? What's the next word? Without what? Everybody see covetousness? Say that with me. Covetousness. Say it one more time. Covetousness. What does that mean? That word covetous right there, I looked it up to be sure. It means loving money. And be content. Be content. Be content with such things as you have, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake. We like the last part, but we don't read this first part. Covetousness. Covetousness. And content. Question, are you content? Are you content? Let me tell you something. I have seen more fights over this right here than anything I know. I've seen more families fighting over this right here. I've seen more communities and nations warring over this right here. I've seen more marriages fuss and fight over this right here. I've seen more churches fuss and fight over this right here. Money. Money in itself is not evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. And it takes money to live. Somebody said, how much is enough? Somebody said, just a little bit more, all right? I remember when I was younger, my daddy and mama told me, they said, son, money don't grow on trees. How many of y'all ever heard that before? Money don't grow on trees. But you know, when I got a little older, I wondered, well, if money don't grow on trees, why do they call banks branches? I never understood that. Branches. Go to this branch. Go to that branch. Well, anyway, money, the love of money. No wonder Paul said, contentment with godliness is great gain. It takes money, but look, here's the deal. Our world is a greedy world. And I know that we have to earn a living and work and all that. But wait a minute. If we put this before God, it becomes an idol. And a lot of people put this before God. Watch this. A lot of people put this before God. And I know it's a temptation for every one of us. And that's why we see people fall out like flies. They fall out like flies because chasing the almighty dollar. And for some reason we think that this is going to bring happiness. It's going to be satisfaction. Somebody said the average American drives a bank finance car over bond finance highway on credit card gas, going to a furniture store to purchase some installment purchase furniture, to fill his savings and loan home. All right. That's about the size of it. Hey, look. The love of money. Are you content what God's done? That doesn't mean that you shouldn't work hard. That doesn't mean that if God blesses you, you're blessed of God. It means keep a balance. Amen. Don't let money control you. It takes it to live, but put God first. Put Jesus first in your life. Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6:33, seek you first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all other things shall be added unto you. You know what? That's why these campfire meetings are so important. Us as men, I need those times. Watch this now. It's not just when we get to the campfire meeting. It's when I leave. I don't know about y'all, but it's kind of when I leave. I just have a peace about it. I love to be around with men, and I love to get around the things of God. Hey, did y'all ever, any of y'all growing up, did y'all ever have this I thought about it when I got home after the campfire meeting. Y'all ever have this? I don't remember what it was called. It was when we was growing up as a little boy and little girl. I was a little boy, of course. Hey, somebody say amen. Anyway, we had this glow in the dark. We had this machine. You build these little things. It's got a little mold in it. You squirt this gook stuff on that mold, and then when it comes out, you hold it under this light. It's kind of like a black light, and you hold it under that light for a little while, and by and by, something happens. You know what happens? When you take that black light away from it, you can walk in a dark room, and guess what it does? Glows in the dark. It's been under that light, that ultraviolet light. It's glowing in the dark. I tell you what, when you're in God's presence, there's something about it. People can see Jesus in you. That's right. Don't you love to be in God's presence? Man, it's just glory. And when you leave this morning, I'm praying, and I've been really burdened this morning, early. God, please manifest your glory in this place. And God, may when we leave, may your glory get on us. And as we leave, may your glory go with us. And may we shine and light up a dark world. Hey, stop and be content. Number two, notice, not only stop and be content, but we'll see in a moment this text right here. But before we do, I want you to see this. Are you willing, hey, stop, not only be content, but stop, and then watch this, be a dedicated disciple. Are you willing to go on this journey alone and this journey up to the celestial city and be a dedicated disciple, devoted disciple? Question, can God count on you? Hey, let me just say something. I don't know how it's going to sound. I just feel impressed to say it. I've been thinking about it. And please take it the right way. How many of y'all take it the right way? Let me see your hand. I'm not going to say it because some of you didn't raise your hand. Amen. I've just come to this conclusion. Why is it some people that you can count on and they're faithful? I know they got stuff going on like everybody else does. Why is it some people, and when it comes to the Christian life, they're just faithful? You can count on them. And some, I don't know what it is, but I think sometimes in our life, I'm afraid to say, I think we use excuses. Really, what makes a difference in you and somebody you can count on? They're going to be here on Sunday morning. Hello. What makes a difference? I'll tell you what makes a difference. It's called Jesus in your heart. It's called a devoted disciple. That makes the difference. I'm convinced of it. How many agree with me? I'm not saying that make you feel bad. I'm just saying if you can't be counted on and if you're not faithful, it's not God's fault. God wants us to be faithful. I'll be honest with y'all. Can I be honest with you? I like to be honest when I can. Amen. All the time. I get discouraged too. I look around and see empty benches too and chairs too. And if I'm not careful, I can begin to walk in the flesh instead of walk in the spirit. And you know what the Lord spoke to my heart as I was on my way to church today? I was turning down the road right down there. You know what the Lord said to spoke to my heart in a still small voice? Son, don't you worry about who's there and who's not there. You just be faithful to what I've called you to do. And see, you know, you can get discouraged. How many Sunday school teachers are discouraged? How many water workers are discouraged? How many people sitting in church and have seen these benches full of people? And the last month or so, Sunday school's down to 72, 75. I'm not whining. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying if you look at numbers and if you look at people, you can easily get discouraged and down instead of being faithful to the call. God's called us to be faithful to Him. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be worth it one day when we get to glory to be faithful. Now, those of you that are offended, I still love you. I didn't mean to say it to offend you. But Jesus said something about this. You shall know the truth and the I need somebody every once in a while to speak the truth in love to me. Do y'all? Do y'all? I do. And I had a dear friend of mine. I didn't want to hear it. Man, when he said it, it was like he could have hit me with a ball bat. But he said it in love, and I knew he loved me. And that's what I'm hoping this is coming across today. It's not condemning. It's not judgmental. It's, by the way, look over here in chapter 13, verse 17. I didn't read this verse, but you might want to pick this out and read it, okay? I don't understand it, but look at it, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, and they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Look at verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, which have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Now, I know that can be misconstrued. I know that can be, a lot of people try to beat somebody over the head with this in a legalistic means. I wasn't even going to read it. But I want to tell you, there's some accountability. I don't understand this, but I know this. When I see you as your pastor, I love you, and I know God's got a plan for you. I need your prayers, and I am praying for you as well. Amen. So let's serve the Lord together. Let's be faithful to God, and God calls us home. Amen. Hey, it doesn't take but just a few. When you're not in your place, your right place, serving the Lord, man, it shows, you know. We need everybody on the team. By the way, do you know, and oh yeah, here it is right here. I'm glad I knew I found it somewhere. I knew I lost it somewhere. Y'all hang with me just another moment. So be content. Now, and then not only be content, but do His will. That's what it says right there. God equips us. Notice, He equips us to do His will. Not my will. No to my will, yes to His will. But wait a minute, let me say something else. Not self on the throne, but Christ on the throne. All right, let me share this with you, okay? A man gave me this week. Now this ought to really shake us up as a church. It says, hello, hi, my name is, on the front, let me just read this. It says, we're looking to sell your vacant land. Call us. We close quickly. Newark, New Jersey. And on the back of this card, this man gave this to me this week, said, I can pay cash and close quickly on your land. Please call me. Now, to get a fair price offer, 862-234-9715. No hassles! Exclamation mark. Hi, my name is I.K. Ali. I would like to buy your vacant land at 1175 Windy Hill Road in Georgia. Hi. My name is I.K. Ali. Hi, my name is I.K. Ali. Is there a bell ringing on in your head? This is a Muslim who's wanting to buy land on Windy Hill Road. I shared with you a few months ago, they're already sacrificing goats on Windy Hill Road. Ride down Windy Hill Road, right down where we're sitting today, and see if I'm not telling you the truth. They're sacrificing goats, Muslims, Islam, Ramadan, over on Mill Pond Road, on Pitts Chapel Road, have been doing it for years. It was an article written in the Jasper County by a person, and I showed y'all that article. Listen, folks, if we don't wake up as Christian people in our community, the Muslims are going to come in here and take over. You say, Pastor, you're being scare tactics. I'm telling you what's happening. You better open your eyes. You better wake up. We better get faithful to God, because they're willing to die for a dead God, and we're not even willing to live for a living God. You don't believe I'm telling you the truth? Drive 13.5 miles right up on 212 off of 162 and see if they haven't bought a 135 piece of land, acre, the Muslims had. I went to the courthouse and felt led of the Lord in Newton County. There's a big debate over this thing. They're building a mosque right up the road. They're putting in a cemetery and eventually a school. You say, Pastor, I shouldn't be scared. No, but we should be prepared. And you know what's going to happen? If God's people don't wake up and Christians don't start taking a stand and Christians don't start being more faithful to God, it's going to come up here and the scientists like Stephen Hawking are taking over Jasper County and the Muslims are taking over Jasper County and they're already moving up by Stone Mountain. Jackie knows what I'm talking about. They're coming in by the droves and the Christians, it seems like many of God's people, we're asleep. We got our head in the sand. It's time to sound the call. It's time to take a stand. It's time to get busy about the master's business. It's time to say, thank God. We believe Jesus is Lord, and we're not going to back up. We're not going to let up until one day we're caught up. I'm just sounding the trumpet. I'm just the mailman. I'm delivering the mail today, okay? You can act like you don't care. But when it happens, and when things start happening, don't start whining and complaining. Didn't say that you didn't know about it. You know about it. It's God's call for us to get right with God. Repent and get right with God. You say, but I got a gun. Wonderful. I got more than one, amen, but it's not might, but more by power. Listen, the laws have already been changed. And all the stuff that we've tried to do is slipping under the radar. There's some laws in place. Things are happening. And we had better be aware of what's going on. And that's why we've got this love unleashed. And that's why we talk about Sunday school and church. I know what you're thinking. Pastor, I got too much else to worry about than stuff you're talking about. Well, your grandchildren and children will face this in our children if the Lord tarries. And so something to be concerned about, amen? It really is. All right, this is not my world. I'm passing through. Praise the Lord. I'm going to a city. Are you going to that city? Are you going to that city? Do you know where that city is? Searching for a city. Praise the Lord. Along the journey, I know God wants to do a work in my life. I hope tonight, today was a wake-up call for us. I want to ask you to stand together with me.